Hello, friends, and welcome back to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in Bellevue, Washington. For more information about the Galactic Wisdom Conference I'm having next weekend, please go to www.galacticwisdomconference.com. With that, I'd like to go on to my interview with a wonderful Lama Tibetan priest, I interviewed him recently. He was in Costa Rica, so please listen to this wonderful interview I did, and I'll be coming back at the end of the hour.
Mm-hmm. I want to tell people a little bit about your background. And yeah. You're a representative of the Tibetan Parliament in Exile since 2011. Mm-hmm. You represent the Dalai Lama, and you work exclusively with him in India.
Not exactly, but okay. Because as I live in Europe now, Barcelona, Spain.
Mm-hmm.
So you just mentioned that I have been living with His Holiness 11 years in India.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And then after I moved to Barcelona, 30 years already. So then I was elected as a member of parliament from Europe. And then I'm just trying to be a solidarity and also doing and explaining the situation of Tibet. The freedom of religion or education and human rights, like these things, you know. So don't say like a representative, you know.
No. I love the Dalai Lama. I love Tibet. And I just want to thank you so much for, you know, representing your culture and country there. It's a beautiful, Tibet, it's a beautiful country.
Yeah.
I'm so glad to have you on my show today.
Hello, Ali. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah.
Well, as a little bit about your background, as when you were 5 years old in 1959, you escaped with your family and siblings from Tibet into India.
Yes.
And I used to live in India, actually, and I met many Tibetans there. And I always admired the Dalai Lama for his efforts on making the planet a peaceful place. And the other thing, too, I was always very impressed with is that the Dalai Lama always had compassion for the Chinese government and understanding. And I always really admired him for that.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, this is true. Of course, His Holiness Dalai Lama is not only for Tibetans and not only for Buddhists. Dalai Lama, he is the man of wisdom and the man of peace. So he always teaches us, you know, the brothers and sisters of China, Chinese, also they want to live in peace. So the Tibetans, even though Chinese government have damaged and harm a lot to Tibetan culture, Tibetan identity, and Tibetan country. We lost our country, but try not to hatred toward the Chinese. Compassion to Chinese, and we have to united and also harmonies and respect the Chinese people. This is what Dalai Lama teaches us, of course, and tolerance to the all kind of, you know, different tradition, different religion. We all are big brothers in this world. We have to live together and unity, harmony, in peace. This is what he teaches us.
That is so beautiful, and I couldn't. I agree with you 1,000%, Laman Wencheng. There's so much wisdom in that statement. You know, when people sometimes get into conflicts in this world, as you know, they often get into a lot of fights, and this leads to wars. But war, I don't think wars solve anything. Do you?
Yeah, of course. The world, even though history saying, you know, past thousands of years or 500 years, even there were war between different countries. There was First World War, Second World War also, and there were civil wars and holy wars happened in Europe and many countries in the name of religion, whatever. So now we are living in 21st century, of course. And then now the violence bring more violence and bloodshed. This is not a solution. We have to dialogue, negotiation between whatever problem we have. So this is what we need, is like a Tibetan problem. We Tibetan only cannot solve. So Chinese, we are trying to negotiate with the Chinese government and dialogue and, talking face to face, and better for the Chinese and better for the Tibetan. This is what we are trying to do it. But, still now, there's no hope. The Chinese not moving even one inch. So now Tibetans, under the guidance of Dalai Lama, and we are trying to really, we fight for our, what it was say, right. Our weapon is the truth. Non-violence and the peaceful is our weapon to get Tibetans, 6 million Tibetan and outside Tibetan, we can meet and live in harmony, unity and peace. This is our dream and our hope.
Well, I want to tell you that I want to support you in every way I can in that dream and hope, and also that the light is always stronger than the dark, and I know that eventually you will win. One of the people that I really admire is also Mahatma Gandhi, who used nonviolence to drive out the British out of India after so many years of struggle. And the same thing will work for Tibet as well. I know that eventually the Tibetan people will be free.
Yeah. This is true also. Mahatma Gandhi, he used ahimsa and nonviolence. And because of this, his approach to nonviolence, and then India got freedom, independence from British, from English. So this is the same. Now we believe that the Dalai Lama is present Mahatma Gandhi. Yes? Mm-hmm. Who teaches us, nonviolence, and then violence bring more violence. So only thing is opposite and against violence is nonviolence and tolerance and patience and also compassionate love. These things are the... So Dalai Lama, even he mentioned several times that, our struggle of Tibet, we have a right. And we lose our country, we lose our independence, but now, one day it will come back. This is what we think, everything is impermanence, So still, the Chinese government, they took over like 56, 57 years already Tibet, we lost. Now, in few years, there should be some changes, I think. And then because Dalai Lama and the Tibetan government in exile, we don't ask for independence. We are asking for the Chinese government that we want an autonomous, genuine autonomous, yes, where we can preserve our culture, our identity, and our language, and our religion or philosophy. And then besides that, we don't want to separate from the China. We are mentioning, repeating years after years, the Chinese government continues blaming Dalai Lama, criticizing Dalai Lama, and they don't want to negotiate. And so this is one problem,
Well, I remember during apartheid in South Africa, when Nelson Mandela challenged the government of South Africa, and eventually that government fell. In the early 90s, 1990, I believe. But one of the things that I really liked about the transition, that what happened in South Africa, is that they had a commission of truth and reconciliation to bring harmony to that country after all the problems they had with apartheid. And I see eventually that'll be the same thing in Tibet as well. I wanted to ask you this. Lama Wenqing, throughout history, countries which disrespect human rights and are based upon violence never last a long time. They always fail eventually, because the white light, I think, is much stronger than the dark.
Yeah, this is true. Also, you know that South Africa, Nelson Mandela, also became so good friend with Dalai Lama. And then also Archbishop Desmond Tutu is now a very good friend with the Dalai Lama. You know, they are learning each other. And yes, of course, the freedom of the people, and people's right is to live in peace, of course. So when there are repression, when there are control by the regimes and everything, without respect to human rights, etc., then, you know, nothing will happen, last forever. This is one thing, yeah. I think so, that the things will change so fast. We are living in the 21st century, yes? So everything is changing. There's no more communist country left over, only China. So therefore, China must change. They will change. And who will change China? Government is to Chinese people from the China. They are not happy at all with their government. So I think they will change soon, the Chinese government, in a more democracy. And this is what people think these days.
I want to tell you something very special. And that is that I'm a psychic, and I have been in touch with many spirits on the other side, including Nostradamus. And Nostradamus has told me that within 5 years, the current Chinese government will fail, and it will be replaced by a democratic, truly democratic government. These changes may even happen faster than that time period, depending upon the Chinese people. But I think you're right. Most people are very unhappy in China, and they don't like the government there, and they want to change it.
Yeah. This is the Chinese government have not elected a president now. Chinese president are not elected by the people, just a party elected. And so people inside China and the small villages, they are absolutely not happy with their own government. They are in China, of course. There's torture, Chinese torture, what is happening. And even repression toward the Falun Gong, you know, the religious faith. And there's a lot of discrimination, including the Uyghur, the Muslim Chinese, they suffer. And Mongolia, Inner Mongolia, also Chinese, really, and inside Tibet. So we are 6 million Tibetans inside Tibet. And now nearly 8 million Chinese in Tibet. So we are majority Chinese in Tibet, and we are minority in our own country now. So there is a really big danger, you know. So China, hopefully, you know, in 5 or 10 years, that the communist China regime will stop, and hopefully that China get introduced into a democratic country. Hopefully, they can make China is now so powerful now, made in China everywhere, you know. So made in China also won't last forever, because there's no quality. Quantity, yes, China, made in China, you know, they make so many things, you know, but there's no quality at all. So therefore, people need to know the value of made in China, and the business will go down. Yeah, this is one thing. So now what Chinese government wants to become the owner of the world, but they cannot.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Lama Wenqing. Actually, and I think we can start in the United States as well in Canada, by stopping American companies from doing business with China and with companies there which violate human rights. For example, when you do a translation on Google, The translation on Google omits Tibetan language as if it doesn't exist anymore. And I think this is catering to the Chinese government. And many products made in China are actually made with severe human rights violations.
We can't imagine what Chinese government, they are thinking, because the world is not stupid. Every world knows what the Chinese government is doing, and they are telling Chinese propaganda, the whole world, telling that inside China, they have a freedom of religion, a freedom of education, freedom of movement, and then human rights in China, Uyghur, Tibet. And then saying also Tibetans are more happy now than before. And Chinese government have developed a lot materially, economically inside Tibet. So this kind of many, many things, stories they are telling. The world knows actually, and the Tibetans are not really happy, inside Tibet. And of course, they made some developments, progress in Tibet. The train from China to Lhasa capital train, but this train is not for Tibetans. This train is to benefit Chinese people to come to Tibet through train, their own benefit. And then they made a road, of course, they built big buildings now in Tibet. This is for the road to bring, military trucks and tanks, etc. They made a road. Of course. Then other thing is big buildings are not for the Tibetan to leave the employed Chinese government employed live inside. Not Tibetan people are living in that kind of buildings, in modern buildings. And then now what happened, China is really exploding all the high mountains of Tibet, exploding gold and uraniums, all mineral resources in Tibet. They are exploding. For this reason, now there are climate changes, and then the natural resources are all no more, because China is exploding mountains and mountains in Tibet. So this is big danger, because uranium, what they are getting is to make a nuclear bomb. And nuclear bomb is to destroy the world. So we Tibetans very much really, worried about this kind of explosion of the mines and the resources inside Tibet.
I wanted to ask you, Lama Wensheng, something very important. I had a friend come back from China last year. She was in Tibet, and she said that the young people there, between the ages of 5 years old up until 18 or 16, are forcibly taken from their families in Tibet and forced into boarding schools where they are forced to learn Chinese and forced not to speak any Tibetan. So by the time that they get out of these schools and they come back to the villages, they can't even talk to their parents or relatives because they can only speak Chinese and not Tibet. And it causes many young people to commit suicide in Tibet and in China because of this. Do you know about this?
Of course, we have all information, day to day, what is happening inside Tibet. It's true. Therefore, we said that the Chinese government is prohibiting Tibetan children to learn our own language and not to teach in school the Tibetan language, written and spoken. But spoken, they cannot control too much because the home, when they are grandfathers, grandmothers, and fathers, they speak Tibetan, so they have to discuss speaking, but the reading and the writing they are trying to prohibit. But then all school children were obligation to learn Chinese and not to teach Tibetan. So this is one language is very important. If the children, Tibetan children, if they don't speak our own language, Tibetan, then they are not anymore became Tibetan poor, So this is a language discrimination. This is Chinese. Of course, learning Chinese is not bad, but our own language is very important. Why they don't teach it? You know, this is one thing. And the same like that, then religion, you know, the monasteries are not allowed to practice accordingly. And even the monks are praying for a long life, Dalai Lama, they were put in prison. Yes, now recently also there's a big monastery called Larungar. Yes, where there are 10,000 monks, nuns, lay people, and even some Chinese studying Buddhist philosophy. Then Chinese government says, oh, this is too much, 10,000 in one place, one like a big institution. This is a you know, security, not good. Something happened and then done the good. So from 10, only 5,000 are allowed. And 5,000 monks or nuns should expel from the monastery. And like that, and true, they did that. The bulldogs came suddenly in the monastery. And when the monks and nuns were this houses, rooms, they were just, you know, destroyed, and they sent it, the monks or nuns or lay people to their villages, to their home. And when they go also, they have to sign that they will not come back again to the monastery. So some sort of like that, you know. So even Dalai Lama photo is not allowed to have inside Tibet, you know. So then if photo Dalai Lama is not allowed, so where there is religious freedom? Where? This is one sort of thing. So anyway, as you said, the Chinese government, we don't understand what they are trying to do, you know. So Tibetan will never change our way. Tibetan will remain as a Tibetan. And because of Dalai Lama inside Tibet, they are really respecting Dalai Lama. They are waiting for return of Dalai Lama inside Tibet. So they practice patience and tolerance to the Chinese, but really they cannot, you know. They are human also. So their patience has a limit. But still, you know, they are not over the limited. The Tibetans are really they are dreaming and expecting that the situation inside Tibet with support of international community and UNO, etc. They really expect a lot that China will change and Tibet will be also, get soon the autonomous, authentic, or genuine autonomous from the Chinese government. This is their people are thinking, yes.
Well, I see that happening in the next couple of years. And I'd be happy, I want to support your efforts as well, as much as I can, because the Tibetan culture and the Tibetan people are beautiful people, and the Dalai Lama's message of peace and harmony to the world is what is needed now. We don't need more weapons, we don't need more military conflicts, we do not certainly need more wars on this planet. Instead, we need words of peace and harmony, both and with both you and the Dalai Lama are saying.
Yeah. This is all the great leaders in the world. And, you know, before, most of the leaders, they speak and they think for the welfare of the people. Now, there are very few political leaders in the world who really thinks for the world peace. Every politicians are, fighting for their power, for their reputation, and for their money and the corruptions. And, you know, the people are not happy because, so therefore we need more leaders come up who really work for the justice, who really work for the peace of the world. This is one thing. So like Dalai Lama, he's always trying to, even though at the moment we have no country, Tibet, we lost, but Tibet is still alive. Yes, our culture, our identity, our philosophy is still alive more and more in America, in Canada, in the whole Europe, you know. So therefore, Tibet will never die. And we need to really work more and more, and therefore the freedom of speech, freedom of education movement, and also freedom of religion and human rights, solidarity. Every people has a right to live in peace. So this is what, you know, we should know, and we Tibet needs, or Dalai Lama, whatever he's doing, he needs support from the high politician level, intellectual level, and society and the public level should support Dalai Lama. He's not only thinking for Tibet, he's thinking for worldwide, that people could live in this planet, you know, take care of this planet, and respecting each other. And this is what Dalai Lama, his message to the world.
Well, I wonder that, you know, the Dalai Lama really, you're absolutely right, Lama Wenching. He not only represents Tibet, but he's also a man of peace for the world. And his message is so important right now. And in that, I wanted to ask you, what can each person do to make the world a more peaceful place?
This question is important because the peace of the world doesn't come from the sky, or neither Buddha, neither God can create this one. So the world peace should come through first individual, or all of us, you know, cultivate, educate, and think on that. If you want peace, then other also want to live in peace. There's no differences, you know. Whether it's Oriental, whether it's Occidental, or East, West, whatever, you know, men or women, rich or poor, you know. So every being, including animals, they want to live in peace. They don't want problems. Yes? In this case, what we really need is to start oneself, to make less egoist, self-centered or self-cherishing less, and cherish and respect things, have a compassion and love to the other people suffering now. Syria, what is happening, you know, and they're killing each other, the brothers, sisters, what a pity, you know. Similarly, the many immigrations are coming from the other country to the Europe or wherever, so then they are suffering, so they are our brother. Yes, and then we should really think, first cultivate peace within oneself. If you are happy, if you have a less aggressive, if you are more violence, you cannot help, you cannot peace within yourself. Then you cannot share with your family, your society, and your neighbors, if you are aggressive. If you are a simple person, happy person, and sympathetic person, and then good heart, so everybody, neighbors, your brothers, sisters, your friends will enjoy with you. Then this message come little by little, more and more. And then I think the society good, one country good, then next country good, this continent good, and whole world. So I think the peace we should, is slow process, of course. And so there are big, sometimes the World Peace Forum they are making, you know, for the peace, World Peace. And this forum cannot create a World Peace, you know, because each one is fighting for their power. And during the meeting, nice word. Yes, then after meeting, then, you know, everybody want to who fights for the power, for the power, and then no forget everything, you know. So therefore, world peace, leave it for the world peace is quite long. But to create first your family, friendship family, harmonious family, and a good unity, united family you can make. Then after that, slowly, like a united nation, should also work more than now.
Well, I agree with you totally, Lam Wenqing. That's very profound words. Thank you so much for that, for saying that. I wanted to ask you something very important. In 2012, the Dalai Lama, I'm told, met with a group of Native American leaders, shamans, in the American Southwest, and they said that evil as an experiment is ending on this planet. In other words, the planet is turning from being a planet full of conflict and wars to one of peace and harmony. You know, I would love your comment on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not very much into this conference, but I got some keynotes from this. Of course, that's indigenous people, and that's not very much because Buddhism is also quite antique, very old tradition, more than 2,500 years, the tradition is old, and indigenous, they have also so many messages common, common messages and practice. Different religion, different faith, but common. Every religion teaches us how to take care of the Mother Earth and the ecological and the natural, and the natures. Because if we destroy the nature and the Mother Earth, more pollution, more contaminated, then this will get to the human and include this planet. Yes. And so, therefore, I think each and every traditions and civilizations, should also work together to protect our Mother Earth and this world, and less contamination, and build up peace more and more. So first, as we said before, also by doing meeting one forum, one congress on peace, it is not easy, to get a result. Then through continuously working, thinking, and the leaders, we need more leaders like Dalai Lama, and thinking for the people and not for the one's own benefit or one's own power. So then the world can be changed, of course.
Well, one thing I really love about the Dalai Lama and your work too is that you both have dedicated your lives in love to service to others and not to service to yourself.
Yeah, this what really Dalai Lama is like that. I'm just trying. I'm trying Dalai Lama, there's no doubt. He always teaches us the world, peace. He teaches us really that all the religions should united. All the religions should really harmony, different faith. This is one of his commitment, Dalai Lama, yes? And so he's already 81 years old, but his spirit is very young. And still, we know that he's going to live 113 years, till. So still we have a time that we know that, there are so many predictions and signs that Dalai Lama will live, more than 100 and 113. So we are a little bit, okay. And another thing is Dalai Lama's message is that, like commitment to human value, because now technology is going up and up, yes? And on the other side, we are losing. We are losing the values and also religious values and spiritual values and human values. We are losing that. So Dalai Lama want to promote Yes, that we are human beings. We have a special potential to cultivate and develop our inner peace and for the welfare of others, whole world. So this is Dalai Lama is doing this, you know, promotion of human value and then harmony between all religions to live in a unity and a harmony again. And then other thing is Dalai Lama. So Tibet, we have a truth. And our struggle of Tibet will be based on nonviolence, peaceful means, and also the truth. So these are three commitments Dalai Lama will teach us, you know.
Beautiful. That is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. Well, I want to tell you that I think the basic nature of people are to be kind, benevolent, loving, and service to others. And I do not think that it is our human nature to be fighting all the time, to be self-centered, to be selfish, and to engage in hate and violence. And that is why I think your message and the message of the Dalai Lama is so important for to create a better world today.
Absolutely. The human nature is really, we have a we talked that we have a potential of yes, nature as a to become enlightened, and our nature, mind, human mind, even the animal have this Buddha nature. He says so. But where we are living in this world, you know, out of the emotion negatives, yes, full of ignorance. And also, we really feel that involved and surrounded by the hatred, anger, attachment, competitive, yes, and jealousy, pride, etc. We have. So the human by human, even the family problems between families, yes, then this is what we need to develop inner understanding better to overcome our emotion negatives, our negative actions, our negative thoughts and negative speech, and at the same time be good person, develop our good heart, yes, think positively and speak positively and act positively. Then these positive results will bring more happiness and peace, and the negative actions will produce more suffering, more complication, and more disaster in the world. So this is what we all first don't look outside and don't look only up, but we have to look first our inner heart, who we are. Understand better oneself, you know, what one is thinking, what one is doing, how one is speaking. Then we will know which level we are. We are really quite ordinary, you know, even though we have a Buddha nature in us. But at the moment that we are, Buddha nature is overcome by our false power of negative actions and ignorance. So this is the only way we have to learn more, be good day by day, slowly, slowly. You know, we cannot change today for tomorrow. So we have to today, we act good, live in good peace, and tomorrow will come. And then same, you know, tomorrow be more, more smiling. And tomorrow will be, you know, a good day. And then you can do something, you know, good for everybody. Even if you cannot do something good, then at least you don't harm to anyone. Yeah, these are the simple things, but it's not easy to do, you know. So everybody has to work little by little. So we have a hope. The world is not that bad at all. There are some, everybody is, yes, a little bit afraid what will happen, but world will remain. But we human, with the help of working all spiritual leaders, religious leaders, and the politicians, has to change a little bit their motivation and their attitude to do good for the world.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, and I want to quote you a famous quote from Mahatma Gandhi, who I really admire and respect. He used to say, be the change that you want to be. And what you just said now about being positive, if you're positive and you live harmony with yourself and other people, that can be the basis for creating a peaceful, harmonious planet.
Yes. Yeah, this is what Mahatma Gandhi said. As Mahatma Gandhi learned from many Hindu high realized gurus, and also Buddha himself said the same, you know. So this is to live in peace and let others to live in peace. This is what, you know, we have to do it. Yeah, so therefore, the good theories and the good plans are not enough. We have to really, you know, touch our feet on the earth, and then we have to work slowly, slowly, slowly with insurance, with confidence, and then we will get some good results, you know. Otherwise, just all the politicians, for example, like they take a promise saying that we will do this and that and that. So many promises they take it. When they get a position or the power, then they forget everything and they only work for their own benefit and own power and own interests. So this is really, nothing result will bring that positively. Then people are discouraged, people are unhappy. If the people in the public is unhappy, politicians, you know, they cannot change the world, you know. So therefore, okay, this is long interview, and we were talking more again and again. But the important is to repeat again good things again and again. And really, people, we need to little bit conscience, who we are, what the world is doing, and more attention, mindfulness, and the world will, you know, there are chances that the 21st century will be the century of dialogue, what Dalai Lama is saying. So we have a hope, you know. So everybody of us, we need to work little by little at one step to be happy. And then, if you are happy, your friends and family happy. And then if your friends and family have other friends, also they are happy, then like this, little by little, you know, we can do. So don't discourage. We have a lot of potential, and we will build up the world a little bit better this 21st century, of course.
Well, I think one of the things that you just mentioned now is that this wonderful positive change is not so much coming from the world leaders, with the exception of the Dalai Lama, but rather it's coming from people like you and me working to create a better peaceful world with everyone from the change is coming from the bottom up, not from the top down so much.
Yeah, so changes, not necessarily come from the up politician people or the famous people. Yeah, the changes can be done from both sides. Yeah, some changes can be from the up, but mostly from the public, you know, individual level and family level, society level. We can change. Slowly, slowly, the world should be better. So for this reason, best is start from the public, and same time from the up, the politicians. If we work together, then there's more possibility, you know. So otherwise, only from the public, we have not enough power. So those who have a power, they don't work it, and it doesn't function. So this is, we have to dialogue, the we are public, you know. So not only Dalai Lama, like Dalai Lama and many other spiritual beings, still there are many great masters, spiritual masters are alive. So they all are trying to do, and their message, you know, should reach again and again to many people. And then people will think up, and then they have to not only theory, but we have to put into practice. Then we will slowly, slowly, hopefully, sure, I competently, the world, we can change the world for the better.
Well, that's such beautiful words you just said. One last question. I hope you don't mind me asking one last question. But do you have a special message for the young children of this world, for their future?
Of course, this is very important. The children in the world, they are our future. Future of this planet, future of this world, future of this, how you say, our young generations, yes? So that, we have to really make the young generation, the children in this world, you know, we have to teach them to be a good person, a good heart, and a good man in this world. And with full of, yes, knowledge, full of wisdom, and full of compassion toward other. This we have to educate in the school and the universities. Yes, and not only teaching the internet and how to work in Facebook and Twitter, etc. This will automatically, children will know it. So this is the parents and the teachers, professors, our responsibility is to teach the young children smile more and, give more love to them, and then you know they can listen more, and then teach to be a good person and good heart. And this is what, and then they will be becoming a good citizen in the world. After, then they will transmit their good things to their children, and again to their brother, sister, and then this is so children's. Should be happy children, and otherwise now the children's are not really, they have everything, they get everything, they ask everything, but there are many children are not happy, because they feel they cannot enjoy, they don't know how to enjoy their life. You know, and then they feel lonely. They feel upset very easily. They feel angry very easily. You know, because this is what now the young children are having this. So now we have to educate. This is our responsibility through religious leaders, through politicians. If they want, you know, and they can, they have a power. And then especially the parents and the teachers in the school and the university have a special responsibility to teach with a good motivation from the heart, you know, to the children. They will accept, they will listen, and they will change.
Well, what beautiful words you just said, and I cannot help. I want to thank you so much for saying that, Lama Wenching. One of the most important things I think children need more of, and people too, is love. And one of the ways that I know, there's one organization called the Modal Peace Project, and they teach little children around the world the value of love and gratitude. It's a beautiful project. It was founded by Dr. Masaru Emoto. He passed away a few years ago, but I know that Dr. Emoto and the Dalai Lama were friends, and I know that we have a beautiful future ahead of us, Lama Wenching, and I just want to thank you so much for representing the Dalai Lama in Europe and doing the work and also spreading the word of the Dalai Lama to help create a beautiful, peaceful planet. I think we have a beautiful future ahead of us, and you're really helping that to happen.
Yeah, this is you didn't have to say thanks to me, but we have to say thanks to you, because you are doing fantastic job through sharing this important message of peace and nonviolence and happiness to the people. So this is the what we have to say thank you. What you, and generally the newspaper and the medias, radio, TV, whatever, that always the news are disaster, bloodshed, accident, and death and killings. These are the news where the producers money behind. But then, to talk on peace and spiritual values, etc., doesn't create much money. Therefore, there are not much media on that. So what you are doing is on this message. So thank you for your questioning me, and I try my best to answer you. Even though, sometimes I lose your few words. So I try my best to share this message. This message is not my message. This message is Buddha message, Mahatma Gandhi message, and Dalai Lama message to all our brother and sister in this world who love this planet, who love to live a better life.
Well, what a beautiful statement. Thank you so much for saying that, Lama Wenching. And you're right, by the way, you are right about the media, especially in the United States. The media, much of it, not all of it, but much of it, focuses on the negatives instead of looking at the positives. I think we have a beautiful, bright future ahead of all of us on this planet. And it's thanks to your efforts and the efforts of the Dalai Lama that this is going to materialize, and it's really going to happen here. It's happening now. And I can only see our planet getting better and better in the future.
Thank you, thank you. Yeah, sure. Everything is possible. Nothing is impossible. So the only thing looks like impossible is the Chinese government is not changing at all. It looks like permanent. But the Chinese government is impermanent. Hopefully, they will change. It will really, 1,000,000,000 Chinese will be happy, yes? And Uyghurs and Mongol and the Xinjiang and the Tibetans, 6,000,000 Tibetans, will be also happy. So therefore, it's good. We Tibetans are not danger people. We Tibetans are peace-loving, and we are non-violence. And really, we only hope that the world be better and filled with joy and harmony and respect for the nature. Thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I know that there are changes happening in China now. And as a psychic, I've been talking to Nostradamus the last few years, and he said that country, China, will change too and become a true democracy within the next few years. He said, just watch. He was... So it'll be very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
No other chance. Oh. No other chance. You know, they should change. The Chinese government will change. Yeah, the matter of a few years, of course. Yes, and nothing will forever last. You know, so this is what whole world. The Cuba is changed. You know, changing. And many other countries who are dictatorship never last. So now the only dictatorship and the communist country left is China. So hopefully the Chinese government will change and peace. We say that more freedom for Tibet and more democracy in China. This is our wish.
That's right. And I know it's going to happen. Lama Wenching, before you go, is there a website, or how can people contact you for more information, or how can they support the Dalai Lama and your wonderful, beautiful efforts toward peace?
Oh, that's Dalai Lama. To support His Holiness Dalai Lama, There are many, many means. In America, we have our office of Dalai Lama in Washington, D.C. So this is quite easy. Everybody works on Google's. So you can go in Google and office of Tibet. Every many countries in Washington, D.C., we have one office. In Brazil, Sao Paulo, we have one office. London, we have an office. And in Geneva, we have an office. And Brazil, in Belgium, we have an office. And Japan, we have an office. Russia, we have an office. Australia, we have an office. And South Africa, we have an office. And Russia, Moscow, we have an office of Tibet. Through Google, really, everything will give you. And then there's a for private Dalai Lama, dalailama.com. If you got that, there is a website of Dalai Lama, his program, his activities, and everything, you know, you can find out.
Thank you so much, friends, for listening to this, and I hope you'll be able to attend my conference next week, Galactic Wisdom Conference, www.galacticwisdomconference.com. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone. Bye-bye.